Disaster lived by its own rules. Most times it crept up from behind, wiping out everything with a single blow, a bully and a coward. Lightning strikes, train wrecks. Someone shoots an archduke and starts a bloody war. But Disaster had veered from its sneaky, obliterating path with the Schuller family. It had taken them down one finger flick at a time. First baby Marie, then Ma, then Peter. Finally, Pa. For the past 5 years, Henry had been the last Schuller standing. And now, Disaster had come for him. For the second time, its ugly hands had shoved Henry out of his own life. At least it hadn't taken him down. Not yet. At least this time he wasn't a powerless boy. He was an 18-year-old man. He could choose. Running was wrong, a coward's way. And maybe he was, as much of a coward as that bully Disaster. But it was either run or die. Since he'd been orphaned, Henry had been living on a farm with Anders Dahlgren, his wife, and 7 daughters. During those years, the second eldest, Emmeline, had convinced many folks he was a deceitful, untrustworthy boy. If he had stayed, all anyone would see was his aggressive, hateful German-ness. All anyone would hear were the echoes of Emmeline's claims. Justice might be blind, but it heard plenty. The fresh scratches and bruises were even more damning than his heritage or his reputation. Even Mr. Dahlgren couldn't save him now, wouldn't even try. Not when Henry had betrayed him in the worst way imaginable. That thought just about tore out Henry's heart. He walked along the river in step with a heavy-booted chant in his mind. Kill him. Kill him. Kill Heinrich the Hun. Words his schoolmates had hurled like stones at his back during the Great War. Unlike the taunting of grade school, this time the threat was as real as the dirt under his feet. The only thing behind him was a noose. After a day and a half on deer trails and farm paths, he'd probably traveled far enough no one would recognize him. He crawled out of the bramble beside a covered bridge, crouching like the animal he felt himself becoming, dirty, hungry, desperate, and looked to make sure no one was in sight before he stepped onto the road. The second his feet hit the packed, rutted dirt, he felt naked and defenseless. All animals have to come out sooner or later, or they'll starve to death. Every hunter knew that. Probably every lawman, too. By mid-morning, Henry hadn't seen a single solitary soul on that road. Maybe his luck was changing. He breathed some easier. The past was done, finished, gone. From here on, he'd only look toward the future, toward Chicago. The Cubs. Yeah, he'd think about the Cubs. Peter, his older brother, had been crazy about the Cubs. He and Henry used to huddle over the weekly paper Pa splurged on, memorizing players and statistics. At first, Henry had only done it to be with Peter. Before long, he too was standing on the front porch waiting for Pa to arrive with the paper. He spent some time thinking about what Cubs Park, it had been called Wiegman Park when he and Peter had started following the Cubs, would look like. It could seat 15,000 people. He'd never been in a town with 15,000 souls all totaled. He was trying to imagine that many people all in one place at one time. The jostle of bodies packed shoulder to shoulder, the swirl of smells coming off that many different sorts of folks, the noise, when he heard the clatter of tack and the roll of a wagon behind him. As the plodding hooves and rumbling wheels got closer, Henry's skin drew up prickly and his privates tried to crawl up into his belly. His feet wanted to light out. A new chant filled his head. Steady, steady, they don't know me, don't know me, don't know me, don't know me. The road was barely wide enough for a pair of mules to walk side by side, so he moved to the weeds for the wagon to pass. 3 steps in, he flushed out a rabbit, sending it skittering across the road and his heart nearly shooting out of his mouth. As the mule team pulled past, he moved his lips into a strawboard smile. A little boy with red hair under a beat-up straw hat looked down, smiled, and waved. He was missing his 2 front teeth. Something in that kid's earnest smile made Henry feel as if he'd lost something he'd never get back. What, exactly, he couldn't say, since he'd lost most everything that meant anything by the time he was 12. He raised a hand and kept that mock smile on his face, thinking innocent thoughts, hoping they'd shine through his eyes. He braced for recognition, waited for the man to look at him, stand and glare down, pointing a damning finger of accusation. But the boy's paw stayed put on that creaky wagon bench, slump-shouldered with his hat pulled low. He didn't even glance Henry's way. Every line of the man's posture reminded Henry of his paw, completely used up by life. Henry felt a stab of pity for the kid and hoped to high heaven his life took an easier road than Henry's had. He continued to put one shaky foot in front of the other until the wagon and the dust it kicked up rolled out of sight. Then the dry heaves grabbed him. He bent over and braced his hands on his knees until they passed. How was he going to live a life on the run if he threw up every time a stranger approached? He had to convince himself of his innocence before he could convince anyone else.